Chapter 4. Zombie Programs. When Ruslan found out that Arthur had been released from the mental hospital, he went to visit him. His mother opened the door and led him into the room, where Arthur sat staring at the TV like a mesmerized man.
"What's the matter with you, friend?"
Ruslan was surprised to find him doing that.
"I'm fine," Arthur repeated mechanically, like a zombie, without taking his eyes off the screen. "I was sick. Now I'm better."
"Hey, buddy, you said it was a hell of a pipe, didn't you? Do you remember your speech at the university?"
"Me?" Arthur replied apathetically. "I don't remember anything like that."
Then, Ruslan realized that the mental hospital had done a good job on Arthur and made him a real zombie.
"Let's go to a place," he said to his friend. "I know people who can help you."
"Well, let's go,"
Arthur answered indifferently, as if he didn't care whether he was going or what he was going to do. They came to the hall of the cultural center, where a lecture was going on. It was led by a dark-haired, middle-aged woman with a graceful figure, swarthy skin, and deep brown eyes. Her name was Naya. A person is entirely made up of suggestion and imitation. One has almost nothing of one's own. Everything is reciprocated, Naya explained from the stage, addressing the audience. Only bright individuals and thinking people have something of their own. The rest of us live by what is imposed on them. Imagine if you were born in the jungle, in the wild tribe of Mumbayamba. Would you be the way you are now? There was a buzz in the hall. Many of the lecture participants shook their heads negatively in response to the lecturer's question. "Why not?" Naya asked again, and, after a short pause, continued. "Because the culture there is different, and you would have the patterns of imitation and indoctrination that existed in that tribe. Any imitation becomes a habit, and the adult human being is made up entirely of such automatisms. Here, say, smoking. Everyone knows that it is harmful, but imitating, they start smoking. And those who do not smoke, maybe they were simply under the compulsion of strict parents who forbade them to do it."
"And how can we get rid of these programs of society?"
asked a thin, intelligent-looking man with a short beard sitting in the front row. "To get rid of all these compulsions and imitations that control a person like a puppet, through the media, fashion, various advertisements, the example of people around you, you must learn to observe yourself and see all the mental processes taking place. Then they will lose their power over you," Naya answered confidently, and, having looked around the audience with an attentive eye, continued, "They control you when you do not notice them and are identified with them. Psychology has sophisticated suggestion systems like neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP. But usually, a person's entire worldview is formed in childhood, from the most primitive compulsions on the basis of which a person perceives the world."
"So our worldview is also a kind of habit?"
the girl with the neat glasses asked, raising her hand tentatively.
"Like smoking?"
"That's right," Naya confirmed. "There are many bad habits in a human being that are worse than even smoking. These are negative emotions, such as resentment, jealousy, anger, fears. Although a person realizes that they are bad, one learns them from early childhood, imitating adults and their peers, children like themselves. And then it poisons the life of this person and their loved ones. Collective negative emotions create wars, revolutions, terror, pogroms, and other crimes. The most powerful of the methods of suggestion is hypnosis. It can change a person's whole personality, remove complexes, habits, mental illnesses, and reveal superpowers."
"Are you going to teach us how to stand up to all this?" the audience asked again.
Naya smiled softly and nodded.
"Yes. We will learn how to protect ourselves from all unnecessary compulsions. And we will also learn the good method and how to be in a harmonious, correct state."
At the end of the lecture, Ruslan approached Naya and explained the situation with Arthur.
who was standing behind Ruslan's back in a senseless, indifferent state. Naya called him over and laid him on a couch on the stage, and in front of the entire audience began to conduct a gyud session.
"Arthur, you hear my voice and you relax," the woman began to say, and her voice changed. It became deeper, more magnetic, attractive. "You hear my voice and you fall asleep. You hear my voice and your body becomes hard as stone."
Naya continued to speak, moving her hands over Arthur. Her vibrating, cosmic voice were filling the entire space.
"That's it," she finally announced,
and turned to her assistants, two short Asian guys standing at the side of the stage.
"Now, take him and put him between the two chairs."
The assistants lifted Arthur from the couch and carried him to the chairs. They placed his head on one chair and his feet on the other. You could see that his body was as strong as a board.
"Sit on him," she said to Ruslan.
He looked at Naya doubtfully, but when he saw the calmness and confidence in her eyes, he sat hesitantly on Arthur's stomach. It didn't even bend.
"He can hold up to 2 tons of weight now," Naya said, watching the scene,
and turned to the assistants again.
"Now, put him back on the couch."
When Arthur was carried back, Naya came closer and spoke to him in a deep, hypnotic voice.
"Arthur, can you hear me? Stand up. You are now the singer of a Chinese opera. Sing to us in Chinese."
The boy rose from his seat and, to the amazement of those present, sang in a well-pitched voice in Chinese.
"Okay, Lee?"
Naya turned to the Chinese assistant.
"Ask him something in Chinese."
The short Chinese man, Lee, eagerly approached Arthur and asked him a couple of questions in Chinese. He immediately answered them in Chinese.
"Now, Arthur, go to the nearest past. What happened to you in the mental hospital?"
"They gave me an injection and I fell asleep," Arthur began to tell. "When I woke up, there was a man in a suit standing over me, with doctors standing next to him. He began to hypnotize me. He told me that I really like watching TV, that I don't remember what they did when I was in a state of clinical death, that I don't remember what I said from the stage to people."
"Good. Now you remember everything well again, and your previous thinking and state comes back to you. I am going to count to 10, and you're coming out of your altered state of consciousness."
When Naya said 10 and the boy came to his senses, Ruslan saw his friend Arthur, whom he had always known, standing in front of him, not the indifferent zombie he had been before the session. At first, he was a little confused, but he quickly oriented himself and began to thank Ruslan and Naya, who had removed the zombie compulsions from him.
"Can everyone become a hypnotherapist?" he asked the woman.
"Anyone can become a hypnotherapist," Naya replied.
"But not everyone can be hypnotized. There are 10% of people who are very hypnotizable, 10% of people who are weakly hypnotizable, and 80% of people who are moderately hypnotizable, who only after many sessions can enter a deep state in which hidden abilities are awakened."
Arthur told Naya about Alice's situation, what he had seen during the clinical death, and asked for her help.
"I can't help you, but I know someone who can. It's Prajna. She lives far away from civilization, in a cave high up in the mountains."
Naya explained the way to the friends, and they began to pack for the journey. After Arthur's departure to Prajna, Lyria visited Alice again. She was sitting in a wheelchair and listening to divine chants in a blissful state. Seeing Lyria, she turned off the music and greeted her warmly.
"Well, how are you, my dear?"
asked Lyria, handing her a bouquet of meadow flowers.
"I feel better," said Alice. "These divine chants are helping me a lot. My soul is floating in grace. and as long as I listen to them, I am happy, and my situation recedes far away. I even began to think that it is not accidental, but sent to me to make me closer to God. I do not understand. Why is there so much evil in the world? Why don't all people want to abide in grace and love? Where does so much evil and hatred come from, if God is love?
The thing is, my dear, said Lyria, embracing Alice, when divine love is narrowed, limited by the ignorant ego, all kinds of negative emotions arise from it, and from them all evil.
How?
Alice did not understand, looked questioningly at the guest.
You love yourself, you love Arthur, and your love is narrowed by that. Confined to you and your lover,
Lyria began to explain.
And you become afraid for yourself, for your relationship. Jealous, resentful if you think he's looking at someone else. Paying less attention to you. But this fear, this jealousy still arises from love. It is the same love, but narrowed. Closed on one person or a group of people. When you love someone or something so much, you have greed for this person or object. Envy that someone has more, that someone gets more attention. But this is also a manifestation of the same divine love. And if we open it without limiting it to an object or a person, it will shine with grace again. So-called positive emotions, such as pride, arrogance, conceit, smugness, gloating, arise from the opposition of self and others, one's own and others. But these emotions can quickly turn negative into anger, hatred, if the other person tramples on your pride. But pride, too, is nothing but divine love, closed on yourself or what you consider to be yours. You should try to remove this painful fixation, this limitation, this ego, and then all negative emotions will turn into God's love. If you feel negativity, think what lies and identifications are limiting divine love and making you suffer, and remove them to abide in grace.
Thank you, Alice said with sincere gratitude. You help my soul so much. Without you, I would still be sobbing inconsolably over what happened. But now, I feel that God is with me.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org.